Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M's ruined it for breakfast.
Overnight news.
Do you see the Redbacks are in trouble, Roo? 10 Redbacks stayed in a nightclub until 12:30 in the morning and refused to stop dancing on the dance floor. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But one wag has already texted in and said, if only they spent that long in the net.
Oh, hang on. They actually got some points.
When was the last time they won a game?
Oh, come on. They won our first innings points the other day. That's not winning a game for them at the moment. They're going all right.
Okay. Now,
they're on the improve.
Making news. We'll talk about that in sport. Making news. Kanye West. We dropped this story a few weeks ago, but now it's legal. He's taken it to court. Kanye is now known as Ye.
I believe yay is the most commonly used word in the Bible, and in the Bible it means you. So it's, I'm you, I'm us, it's us. It went from being Kanye, which means the only one, to just yay, just being a reflection of our good, our bad, our confused, everything. That I'm just more of a reflection of who we are, just as beings.
Yeah, he's a confused lad.
Isn't he lost the plot a bit, that fella, or not?
Yeah, well, he started his own religion, that's a good sign.
Right. Now, made us think of people that have changed their names along the journey, because he's done it legally. He's now known as Ye.
Yeah, but what did he change it to Ye for?
Don't know. Well, he just said it's a religious thing. It's in the Bible. I'd say he's a Bible basher. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. Who else has changed their name famously?
Famously? The new number one draft pick this year has probably just changed his name from Jason Horn to Jason Horn Francis.
And that's right.
Because Fabian Francis had a massive influence on his life. And
yes.
And now that he's 18, he wants it to be recognised how much impact he's had. So he's now Jason Horn Francis.
There have been the money-making ones over the years. Buddha Hocking, Gary Hocking, was Whiskers for a week.
He was.
Wasn't he?
That was hilarious.
That was an ad for Whiskers.
Oh, yeah. Buddha,
hey, but it got it on the
pages.
He's a
funny bugger.
Yeah. Buddha. We only mentioned last week about Don Bradman's son.
Oh, yeah.
John Bradson.
Yep.
Changed his name too.
Oh, you'd get sick of being asked about your old man, wouldn't you? Can you get a bat autographed by your dad for the auction from your local cricket club?
What will the Rashudo kids change their name to, you think?
Ditmar,
probably. You're going to play footy like your dad? You're going to win a Brownlow medal?
Are you the one that tells jokes on Triple M?
Yeah. And then there are the famous ones, the entertainers.
Elton John.
If you looked at Elton John right now, you just couldn't call him Reg, could you?
No. Reggie!
Welcome to the stage, Reggie Dwight.
Reggie!
What's his name?
Reg Dwight.
Reginald Kenneth Dwight. You've also got Vincent Fernier. That's Alice Cooper.
There you go. Vincent.
And pretty much, you know, people like, you know, Nicky Six out of Motley Crue. You know, he was Frank Ferrer.
What about Engelbert Humperdinck, right? You know, your mum and dad would have danced to Engelbert Humperdinck at the country town hall, you know, when they were growing up. His real name was Arnold Dorsey. Why would you go to Engelbert Humperdinck, for God's sake? Who suggested that? Anyway, there are many, many of them that... There was the Geelong player, Max Rook. That wasn't his real name.
Brian Lake was Brian Harris. Brian Lots Lake of people do it just for family issues.
Because of their parents.
Hey, the Queen's knocked back an award. She's declined to take an award. She got offered to be the Oldie of the Year award from the Duchess of Cornwall.
Wow.
But she said, you're only as old as a woman you're feeling. I mean, sorry, only as old, only as old as what you feel.
Right.
And she said, I feel fantastic.
Okay.
So... she didn't want to accept the award, but yeah, she could have been Oldie of the Year.
All right.
Good title.
She needs to look in the mirror. Now, just before we finish, petrol prices, we said a couple of weeks ago they will reach $2. That's what's been predicted. Yesterday, I was watching the 7 News last night, $1.85 in the northern suburbs. Can you top that? If you can ring us 133353, I'm really keen to know. Both, if you can tell us about some cheap petrol out there, because this is going to cost a fortune to fill up now.
They're saying it's going to be $2 and could stay there for ages.
Yeah.
There's a petrol shortage all over the world.
A major international story that has been leaked to us here at Triple M, Roo.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Mm. So the Queen's been having a bit of a sip. Like a lot of people in the COVID period have been drinking a little bit
at
too
home.
Much, haven't they? They've been stuck at home in lockdown. And
we were told a few days ago that she's been told to slow down a bit. Get off the grog.
Well, not just that, Dits. We got good sources because we sent a Triple M reporter over there and actually heard the conversation.
Jeeves, I need you to go and let Her Majesty know that she's drinking too much.
I shan't. I don't want to be the one to tell her.
Well, we've got to do something. She's the 95-year-old Queen of England, and she's drinking like a retired squash player on a boozy punting weekend.
Can't Prince Andrew tell her?
No, Andrew's still locked away in the basement.
Prince Charles, perhaps?
Too busy horsing around with Camilla.
Sorry, Camilla.
It's all up to you now, Jeeves. Get in there.
Excuse me, Your Majesty.
Stop me now!
Your Majesty, excuse me. Can we turn the music down, please?
Jeeves! Beg your pardon, I am absolutely trolled.
Your Majesty, I've got something very important to tell you.
You've got me a dry martini?
No.
A wet martini?
No, ma'am.
A Dubonnet and gin?
No, Your Majesty.
A G&T?
No, actually...
A couple of shots of cowboy sucker?
No, ma'am. I'm here to ask you to stop drinking.
You want me to stop drinking?
Yes, it's just...
Get in the basement with Andrew and turn the music up. Stop me now.
Right, that's what that took place at, over there at the Palace. I think it yesterday.
Palace is going off.
It's rocking.
Good on you, Queen. You're 95 and still rocking. Good on you.
104.7 Triple M.
He writes jokes for the front bar, and his mates call him Rosie. Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, Rosie, finally this week you get out of solitary confinement.
Oh, Rude Dits, Loz, I'm excited. The Melbourne lockdown finally ends at 11:59 on Thursday night, but I'll tell you what, I'm heading out at 11:58. I just don't
Rebel.
Care.
Where's first stop, Rosie? Where's first stop?
You know what? I'm actually going to look after myself. I'm spending the day. I'm going to get a haircut. I'm having a shave upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to spend the next 48 hours working on forging my vaccine passport so I can get in everywhere.
Beautiful.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to go to the pub for 2 hours and then it stops because who doesn't love the great Australian tradition of having a few beers, getting on a roll, and then stopping suddenly? That's what we're all about, you know? It's a withdrawal method for drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a bit of an issue.
I'm myself off at home. It's not great.
What about the Wiggle? She's pulled up stumps.
Oh, Wiggles are falling apart.
It's not going great, isn't it? Emma Wiggle has decided to call it quits. Emma Watkins, the yellow Wiggle. This has devastated hundreds of children and thousands more dads.
Yep.
She a hottie, is she, Rosie?
But seriously.
Really? Have you not seen her?
I think she'd get, well, I mean, you know, if you go see the Wiggles, there's not a lot on the show.
Not there, choice.
So, you know, how many changes have the Wiggles made over the last few years? Like the Carlton Footy Club has more stability than the Wiggles.
They're rebuilding.
They're all over the shop. They are rebuilding, and they've already replaced her with a new girl called Sihai Hawkins. And I'll tell you who must be dirty, though. It's got to be Captain Feathersword. Like, he's sitting there thinking, why am I never promoted,
yeah.
You know? He's always the medical sub. When's he coming off the bench? You know?
Yeah.
Why is he not Major Feathersword yet? You know, he's been captain for a while. What happened at sea that stopped him from getting promoted?
Rear Admiral. Doesn't sound right, though.
That'll be on 60 Minutes soon, Rosie. Don't worry about that.
No, that's right. And you know what? They're going to have to redo the Uber Eats ads now because remember they had that famous sort of ads with Simon Cowell from...
That's right.
I had an issue with those ads, and I don't know whether you would have picked it up, but, you know, Henry the Octopus, okay? So he was in the ads. They did the joke about calamari, about cutting him up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
One thing I don't understand about Henry is why does he have two hands and six legs? So it's their choice. They've got six pairs. They've got six shoes on him. Why not four of each? Like, let the guy have four beers and still have four legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's giving me something to think about for the rest of the day there, Rosie. Definitely.
Speaking of beers, now, you've seen this bloke, I presume. You've read about this fella in the UK who's broken the record.
Yeah, so a man called Matt Ellis decided to go across the UK and break the record for the most amount of pubs he went to in one day. He went to 51 pubs. In one day. Yeah.
Great record.
Impressed?
Very.
Yeah, see, I reckon I've broken that record and just can't remember it.
Did he have to drink? He had to drink something everywhere.
He did. He had to drink something, but he drank mostly OJ and Diet Coke when he went there. And I was like, if you're just drinking that, then why not just break the record in OTRs? Like, why does it have to be a pub?
Yeah.
You're not even have a beer and a chaser. Like, do it properly, mate.
Yeah, disqualified, not eligible, I don't think.
Exactly. And clearly none of the pubs had pokies because, you know, once you get on a roll in the pokies, you're not leaving.
And tell us about the mum who got an interesting present.
Yeah, so she got a gift card for her 15-year-old stepson, and it was a $30 Smoke Mart gift card.
What, for a 15-year-old son?
For a 15-year-old. So, you know, he could go in there and he could get himself a third of a pack of Horizons for that, which
yeah. is not bad. Pack of Tally-Ho papers.
I don't mind the idea of, you know, the 15-year-old getting the Smoke card, the Smoke Mart gift card. I'd have thought a 15-year-old might have preferred a Crazy Horse voucher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bit of education.
Yeah. Really go off.
Yeah, or, that's right.
A lesson in anatomy.
Right, you know, but I think, yeah, that's right. Nothing says stepson like a $30 gift voucher.
Yeah. Thanks, Mum. You're the best, Mum.
Stepmum.
You've always been there for me.
Get on your Rosie. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
There he is, Adam Rosenbach, the man who writes the gags on the front bar here on Triple M. Ruin Loz, how many beers can you carry?
Four.
Are you still talking just with your hands?
Yes. So if I send you to the bar, Loz, to get a shout.
Oh, safely four, I can do six.
Six? What? Six pints?
I put one under each arm and then
do five. Oh, cheating. No way.
A bit of armpit juice in your beard.
You got me
it's
covered.
It's not quite the armpit. It's more the elbow to boob sort of squeeze.
Okay. So
it's safer there than it is in my hands.
You can drink an air round.
I can. I do three. Now that everyone drinks pints, I'm comfortable with. Because
that's
the
pathetic.
Four. I know, but the fourth one's going to be slippery. If it's the wet glass and you drop it, it's embarrassing.
It's all about the finger strength.
Is it?
Yeah, and because I play the piano, and I seriously believe I have
strong fingers.
Strong fingers.
Righto.
Here comes the piano player with six beers.
There you go. Now, the reason I bring this up is Christian Rotgering, was at the Dutch football yesterday, a Division 1 game in Holland, carried 48 beers.
Oh, get stuffed.
Now, there's a photo of this online.
Is this
very clever.
Legal or is he using trays?
No, he's
trays.
Doing it well. So, you know the trays. So, like when you go to the cricket or the footy, you get a tray with probably, four pints
drink
in it?
Responsibly.
So, he's stacked all these trays on top of each other and has carried them back for all of his, you know, 48 beers he's carried.
That is a big shout.
That's huge.
That's a deal breaker.
Must be nice to have that many friends.
That's
48.
Yeah. That's probably $400.
But anyway, check the photo out online. So it's in the Dutch football, 48 beers he carried. Good what about, carry. Tell me about that's the famous Crows captain's wife.
Oh, well, yeah, let's not talk about names in particular.
Oh,
but
okay.
Fair to say that when she walked up the bar and come back with four pints, let's just say the manager was very impressed. Yeah, right.
She's a keeper.
She's a keeper.
And looks beautiful as well.
Oh, wait, so she was holding four pints.
Well,
four pints.
A lot of people like dits.
I can carry three.
Oh, we should get some cups in here and teach you.
Oh, please. All right. Because it's a skill I want to improve on.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, all right. The Redback boys are in trouble, Roo. They played against Queensland earlier this week, and then they've got into some strife at a nightclub.
Yeah, they went out and celebrated their first innings points victory, which is, you know, they haven't had too many full victories, but that was a good start for the season for them, and they went out and had a few drinks, and you're not allowed to stand up and drink. You're not allowed to dance in bars in Adelaide at this stage, which is unusual and very restrictive and unfamiliar for a lot of people.
It's like Footloose. That movie with Kevin Bacon where the kids aren't allowed to dance in the town and then he does all their backflips in a shed to rebel.
Similar.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make it relatable.
That's right. We know. But this is what's happening in bars all over South Australia at the moment. People want to be normal.
So what they were doing wrong was dancing?
By all reports, they were dancing. Mm. So, well, you're not allowed to dance. You're not allowed to stand up and drink. Mm. And if you are standing up, and not drinking, you have to have a mask on.
Is there something I need to know about the Redbacks? Is there another story here? What sort of bar were they at? Because I'm 10 men all dancing together.
What is going on with our cricket team? Was it the YMCA?
Exactly.
It was a Tuesday night, midnight or whatever. So they'd finished their cricket wherever that finished. And so there's probably not many choices.
You go to where you can.
You go to wherever you can.
Travis Head going up to Alex Carey. Would you like to dance to this one? Are you serious?
May I have this dance?
God.
So
that's the real story.
Yeah.
So what are you accusing him of here?
I don't know. When I was a lad, I'm not asking nine other mates to come out dancing with me.
It's probably not nightclubs full of women on a Tuesday night in Adelaide.
Probably not.
Not in Sydney or Las Vegas or wherever. Anyway, they got kicked out, but... This is what's happening with the rules.
Nothing wrong with men dancing together, by the way. I'm just to everyone listening, you know.
But you don't see it, do you? You never say, like, I say to my friends all the time, let's go out for a dance and, you know, whether
let's go
you
and
dance
put our handbags in the middle on the floor
dance. Yeah. Well, not so much now that I'm an old fart, but.
You're calling the Redbacks handbags.
I just want to know what's going on. Spend more time in the nets, boys, instead of.
Celebrate.
They're allowed to go out and salsa.
Have you seen their results?
Dance at the Port Lincoln Cup with 10 blokes on the dance floor.
Bull dust.
Yeah, you even got up and bloody grabbed the microphone off the lead singer. Thought you were
only the crowd
lead singer
wanted it.
Of Queen.
The crowd was shouting for it.
Oh, you thought you were Freddie Mercury just because your horse won the Lincoln Cup.
Big baby.
Big baby.
Oh, gee whiz, a big baby was born over in America, guys. 6.3 kilos is
big baby.
Whopper has bobbed out at.
What's that in pounds?
Times that by 2.2. It's 13.86.
Oh, that's pretty big.
So that's big. You don't hear much bigger than that. Anything double digit is massive. I mean, there's a few 9-pounders and lots of 8-pounders and... 6 and 7 pounders are all pretty normal, but 13.86, apparently it was in a little ward with three other kids, and it weighed the same amount as the other three put together.
It ate
this
one of the
true.
Others.
It came out that
That's
big,
so
it started bottle feeding the mum. It was 60 centimetres long.
It drove home from the hospital.
It came out, so anyway, biggest baby the doctor had seen in 27 years, basically twice as big as normal.
Gorgeous.
Poor old mum, she was not in a good way afterwards.
How'd she go, C-section, or did she do the...
No, I'm not quite sure. I think she was going to do C-section, but it all happened pretty quick. But imagine pumping that. Well, actually, she's had two other kids, and one was sort of a normal size. The other one was 5 kilos, so she's sort of been... prepared, I should say.
Okay. Cooking up some big buns.
Yeah. So
were you a big baby, Loz?
I was 9'3".
Oh, that's up there.
That's
weird
because
I only know babies in pounds.
Yeah,
that's but 9 pounds is bloody solid.
My brother was 9'12", and my other brother was 10 pounds 3.
Ooh, your mum would have tears in her eyes.
I was the last one, so I walked out after them.
You just. Slide out.
Yeah.
What were you, do you
twist
know if you
the head and catch him.
You're a big baby, Roo?
Nah, just normal.
Normal?
Just normal.
And what about your kids?
Well, we've had 6 at Burnside, and I think Rocco was the biggest, and now he's the smallest. He came out the biggest and fattest little thing. We thought, we'll call this one Rocco. Right. This will be good, big Rocco, but there's the skinniest.
I think the thing is, hyperthyroid, if you have hyperthyroid, it makes your babies really big.
Does it?
Yeah.
What's hyper? Because we've all got
overactive thyroid.
No, sorry, the other way around.
Under
hypo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I reckon my wife's got that. We're all on thyroid.
It doesn't have to work, but that's why we were all so abnormally large.
Right, well, the mother of Finlay at 6.3, she must have thyroid issues.
Hey, Doss, you would have been a bruiser, wouldn't you?
I wrecked my mum before she got to the shoulders pushing me out. So, No, I was 10 pounds. Do you know what's really odd? I think I was around the same as Loz, yet I'm my size and Loz is like at least half my size. Oh. How did that happen?
I've got one normal and the other one, Jacko, he was the beach ball, we called him. He was known as the beach ball for years as a little kid. Oh, God, he was.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, and so all these baby photos, this little round thing, very round.
Oh, very cute.
Oh, they are beautiful little babies.
Baby!
Oh, I've got a feeling Tom, our little assistant producer, was a big baby
big
by the size
producer,
of your head.
Whoa, that's
tell me what
size
you
my
were.
Head.
You've got
a big head.
Big head,
man.
You would have been a real trouble for your mum.
I've come in here and I've just got big head. Okay,
it's not a negative.
Okay,
because you're a big,
noticed.
Strong
that
boy.
Means big brain.
That's why
it's empty. Thank you.
That's why you concussed yourself last week. You got a big head. You're not in the cupboard. Yeah,
just thinking too hard in your head.
Want to know how big I was as a baby? You ready for this?
Yeah.
12.1 pounds.
Oh, no!
Third biggest in the history of the Burnside Hospital at the time I was born, apparently.
Third biggest.
That's on my CV. It's a bigger proud achievement.
Wow. But you have got a big brain, like Dit said. So I think Nate knew what it was doing.
I reckon
there.
I've got the biggest of anyone.
Yeah.
No one's going to ring up with more than that.
You're up with
5.5 Ks.
I reckon if you measured your head, you're up with Brian Taylor.
Yeah, he
the big bonds.
That's unbelievable.
Well done, Tommy.
Let's take some calls. 1-3-3-5-3. Who have you got there, Loz?
I've got Lockie from Fairview Park. Big babies, please.
Yeah, she, my daughter was born about 37 weeks, and they do the measurements of, like, you know, how far they're going, the measuring, like, oh, you're going to be born about, measure this much. She was actually, emergency section, but she was organised a planned C-section, and came out that she's born 11 pound one.
Big baby.
At 37 weeks.
Yeah, and she was in the special care nursery at the Lower Mac, and you don't really go, it's not a thing you say, oh, yeah, 11 pound premature baby.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well done. Did you say it was natural or a C-section?
C-section. No, it wouldn't be natural.
Glad she's well.
Let's go to Little Hampton up in the Adelaide Hills. Timmy, how big was your kids?
They started off, my first was 10 pound 2, but the last was 12 pound 8.
Oh, you're going to have another one. Get up to 15 pounds.
No, it's not going to happen.
How's your wife?
Which hospital, Tim?
That was at Narra Court.
Well, I reckon you'd have the record down at Narra Court.
Did mum pump him out natural or C-section?
Yeah, no, it was all natural. Within a couple of hours.
That's amazing.
Was she squealing?
She was in a bit of pain afterwards.
Poor girl. All right.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for the call.
Her. Wow. Oof. That's a big baby.
Yeah.
What were you, Tom?
12.1.
He's got get out of here, mate.
Imagine
he's disappointed now.
Pathetic.
Shattered.
I am shattered, yeah.
We've had some texts on the Automasters text line. Tucky was a boxer as well after football.
Yeah,
just
good
saying.
Point.
So,
good point.
And he got knocked out in one of those fights. Talking about babies and big babies, we had a record at the Clare Hospital for 3 years. 12 pound 8, natural, no pain relief.
What?
That's from Benny. Joe from Hallett Cove, I was born 10 pound 5. My mum has never forgiven me for it. Ha, ha, ha. Good morning, all. I am loving Loz's infectious laugh.
Aww.
She's like a machine gun. David Fuller, thanks, Dave, for your feedback. Petrol, $1.43.5 a litre at Bryan's Road, X Convenience.
Well, that's good because we're talking about upwards of $1.85 at the moment, and it's going to head towards $2.
And we've also had one from Tony from West Lakes. The last time the Redbacks won a game, you were allowed to dance and drink and stand up. So
that's right.
That was about 4 years ago. Yeah. So thanks from Tony from West Lakes on that one.
We've got 10 grand on the line in about 29 minutes. Next, though. We're looking for the boomer. Roo Adit's about to get schooled by Loz. Triple M. Ready or not, here comes
the boom. Here comes the boom. Loz said something to us yesterday, Roo, that left me scratching my head.
Well,
I just pretended on you, but...
Yeah, I had a crack at her about overspending and wasting money on food and, you know, she was hungover and wanted Uber Eats.
I wasn't
hungover,
I had a virus.
Oh, okay. You were sick. I'll take that back. Anyway, you spent $27.50 on a burrito and some soft drink.
Not unusual for Uber Eats. It's quite expensive.
Yeah, that's my point. You're wasting money and then you whinge about not being able to afford to buy a house and then you claim everyone's rich.
And then you come here and park out the front and just leave your car there and go out and get tickets every
day. Yeah, that old cop. That is crap.
But you know you're going to get tickets. You go, I'll just park here anyway.
Sometimes they're not staffed, the council workers.
See, now you're relying on just luck.
Yeah, I know. That's how I gamble. That's how I get my serotonin. Do you get it?
On the horses.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Loz, sounds like you're being boomed.
Yes, I am.
Now,
I'm
what
being
does
boomed.
That mean?
What's booming mean? What is this thing?
Well, as the token millennial on the show, I get, I'm here to cop it. You guys are here to boomer me and I'm here to take it. Basically, you just oversimplify all of the problems that I have by spending money on, like, burritos. Yeah. You'd be in the housing market if you just stopped getting avocado on toast.
Well, that's good advice.
Isn't it true?
The housing market's stuffed. You can't get in unless you're already in or you've got 300 grand just sitting in your back pocket.
Yeah, but have you actually even got a plan to get in?
Yeah, I've thought about it, but it's just it's not realistic for me at this stage. I should be earning
more
money.
It's not realistic if you spend $27 on burritos.
Oh, it's a game!
Here's what I could do.
It's not realistic if you get parking tickets every week.
I could take my... Yeah, okay. I could take my minimum wage and squirrel away for years and years and years and years, and it still wouldn't be enough. So I'm just deciding to enjoy the little time on earth that I have.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So that's a decision you're making.
Mm.
So what does everyone else do that buys a house?
What do you mean? They have better jobs than me.
You reckon it's all about better jobs and nothing to do with saving and planning?
Oh, it's a combination. But even if I had saved my whole life, I wouldn't be able to afford a house.
So, but there's a term out there. Let's forget about you and us for a minute.
Okay.
Right? And us being giving you fatherly advice here. Is there a term out there that is you've been boomered? Is this a real saying?
And what does it mean?
I think I just coined the phrase yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
So it's not a...
No, but it's kind of, it's the doing word of boomer. So it's being boomered is like when someone comes at you with their boomer advice or telling you off.
So in other words, we're baby boomers. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
So when you go to an auction these days and there's 120 couples there and you're the first home buyer and you're looking up and you're going, geez, I'd love this one for, you know, $570 and goes for $710 way over the top, you go, I've just been boomered.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's like when you go to Christmas lunch and your uncle who's invested, like, who bought a house for $130,000 in 1980 and he just sold it for $5 million is sitting there chuffing on his cigar and he goes, you really need to get into the market, love. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but he wasn't going out for smashed avocado.
He wasn't going out for smashed avocado, but he was eating,
he wasn't buying coffees. He wasn't buying Uber Eats.
Because...
That's how he got into the market.
Back in those days, you just walk down the street and people put food in your mouth.
You don't realise how tough those old these cigar people, smoking these, $5 million house owners.
These people that aren't policing the car parking, by the way. Last month, what was your car parking fine bill?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
How much was it?
I don't like talking about it because my mum listens, but it was $400.
There you go.
See?
These are the people that aren't policing it, but it still was $400 for the month.
That was a bad month. That was more staff than normal. See? And I think they know that I'm working here now, so they've put two extra people on the roster.
All right. We've been boomed and you've been boomed.
You can single-handedly get the Adelaide City Council out of debt. Spat between two of our senior politicians yesterday, Root.
Yeah, a couple of boomers, Tit Shorten and Barnaby the Tomato Head Joyce. Who said that? Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
What do you call him?
Tomato Head.
they're having a bit of a spat about climate change and not having a clear policy under ScoMo. Tit Shorten opened the batting.
At the moment, you'd have to draw the conclusion that the coalition between the Nats and the Liberals is a very unhappy marriage. It's become like the Squid Games of Australian politics, except without the nice tracksuit.
I think about these quotes all day. You can tell they've rehearsed them, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Really popular with the young people, and you'll sound cool if you're watching Squid Games.
I'm surprised you didn't call it Octopus Games.
Let's hear from Barnaby.
Well, I think Bill, God bless his cotton socks, has a lot of spare time on his hands. If you can watch the Squid Game, I must admit, I haven't seen it. I'll go to the nearest aquarium and see what they get up to.
I'll throw aquarium in there.
Oh, one all.
People will see the funny connection there.
Good work, boys. Keep running the country.
We pay money for that.
Big money.
Big money. Very, very big football story coming out of Melbourne yesterday, Roo. This could change the way or the future of the AFL. We know that in recent seasons, the head has become very, very protected. Did you see where yesterday the coroner in Melbourne handed down a finding about the Tuck situation at Richmond? And this is Michael Tuck's son, who's a legend of the game, as we know. So Shane Tuck and his wife has actually pointed the finger at the Richmond doctors about the way her husband was treated. This is a very, very big thing to say publicly.
Well, it is, and Richmond have come out and denied that they mistreated any players in the past. And, I can't say rightly or wrongly if she's right or he's right. All I can say is my experience is that the club doctors are absolutely brilliant people. And in that era, it was handled very, very differently to how it's handled in 2021. These days, there's absolutely no risks. There's, 20-minute patch you go and get assessed. If there's any chance of you having concussion at all, you don't play. You don't play the next week. All this has come in because of the litigation that happened in the NRL Not NRL, what's it called? The American football, anyway.
NFL.
NFL. And because they had about a $1 billion lawsuit that they had to pay out because of all the past players with concussion. And the AFL saw that coming and they changed the rules, the sling tackles, the bumps to the head, the even if you go to bump and you don't even try to hit them in your head and you hit them in the head, you get suspended. And there was a lot of frustrated people. I was one of them. You've been one of them. Lots of people have been critical of the AFL saying it's soft. You're playing a man's game. It's not a contested game anymore.
Yep.
Well, it's all about protecting the head because of this very thing that's happening now with what happened with Shane Tuck, what might have happened with other players with long-lasting concussion injuries. But what the judge said yesterday, which is the most surprising thing, is he basically said, I'm not going back and having a look at what happened in the past. I'm more interested in what they're doing now. Is that right?
Yeah. Now, I've got it in front of me, the quote here, and I find this quite amazing. Now, we're not legals. So we can only go on what we read and form an opinion. He's the state coroner in Victoria. Judge John Cain indicated he would not delve deeply into how the AFL and clubs treated players who suffered concussion in the past. Now, Roo, my limited knowledge is I think a coronial inquest means you are finding blame. You are actually writing a report on what happened, how it happened, and you make a case and you make a decision and announce it publicly. Well, he's saying, I'm not going to delve into it. Well, what are you delving into and who does? So and we don't want to play a blame game, but this is what a coronial inquest is.
And surely she, as the wife, deserves some sort of closure as to what happened to her husband. And, you know, the CT scans show that he was suffering from terrible brain injuries that caused sort of depression and all sorts of stuff.
So Adelaide lawyer Greg Griffin, who we know well, he's involved in this case. He's representing the Tuck family. The widow of former Richmond player Shane Tuck has threatened to withdraw her participation in a proposed coronial inquest into the circumstances surrounding her husband's death. So she's not happy with the way it's being played out.
Look, I think you're going to hear a lot more about this because, obviously, they're doing a lot better now with what, since they've changed the rules and protected the players and all of that. But what happened in the past happened in the past, and they do need to look at it. And if there are issues with several players, there's already been a case with Sean Smith, the former Demons player, that's been paid out $1.4 million because his life stuff from it. And there's plenty of other players. Greg Williams' name's been mentioned that played for Carlton, and Sydney John Platten, who played for Hawthorn and Central Districts. And there's lots of other players who have retired in their early 20s as a result of concussion issues.
All right, now,
but
I want to open a can of worms here, hit you with a hypothetical. Let's use a name like John Barnes, who you mentioned, played for Essendon, Geelong.
Yeah, John Barnes, I didn't even say that.
All right, let's say John Barnes, who's one of the players being named at the moment. How do you decide, did the concussion when he was playing his 85th game for Geelong do it? Was it the 10th game he played for Essendon, or was it the 4th game he played for Barwon Heads under-18s?
Or was it the punch he got in the head at the pub Saturday night?
So therefore,
or was it the amount of booze he's drank, or the drugs he's taken,
is
or
it
the
a
boxing
can of worms?
Career, or the training that he's done, or from falling out of a tree 20 times
as
a kid?
I reckon these things are actually quite hard to prove.
Well, they are. And, I guess we haven't heard the last of it. Greg Griffin's not going to just cop this on the chin. He's not that type of bloke.
Yeah. Can I just ask a final question? You, as a board member of an AFL club, what's the liability of clubs here? Because if you said Sean Smith's been paid out $1.4 million.
$1.4 million.
Right. That can happen times 100 now. There will be many, many players say, well, yes, I was concussed. You were concussed, Rue.
Concussed heaps of times.
Rue, who pays for this?
I don't know. I presume there's an insurer of the AFL.
Yeah, but if you're insuring today, you're not responsible for what happened in 1970, are you?
No, but it'd have to be the AFL. I'm only guessing here. Don't quote me on this, but I'd be guessing that the AFL would have insurance for all those types of things, and that's what they'd be suing. You couldn't sue the clubs. It'd break them.
Yeah. All right. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Mm.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Four digits, four numbers, just get them in the right order. That's all you have to do.
Simple as that, Dits. It's not that hard. Let's go down to Port Noarlunga. G'day, Jared.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, Jared. You been to the listener app, got the past combinations?
Yeah, I have had.
Good.
Righto. So you can rule those out. That's good. That's a good start.
What does it feel like to be sort of 1 in 22 chance of winning $10,000?
Got a 1 in 20. iPod charts, don't I?
Yeah, you do. That's better than everyone else listening.
Yes, correct. Okay, give us your four numbers in the correct order, Jared.
I'm going the year I was born, so 1985.
All right, that's a good omen for you.
There's a freshie.
One, nine, eight, five.
Is it 1985 for $10,000?
Pin incorrect.
Sorry, Jared. Bad luck, Jared.
Oh, good guy.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for trying. We are down to 1 in 21.
Were you number one in the world in 1985?
Oh, no idea. Too long ago.
Don't remember.
No. He knows. He's just very, very modest, this little boy called Chris Dittmar down there, the boomer. 1 in 21. I like that.
Joe Ricciuto
on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
When do I get paid?
It's time for Joe's Joke.
Oh, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Dit.
Good. You sound like you're up and about, mate. Are you ready for school today?
Yeah.
That's a change.
Now, what's the good thing on a Wednesday? What do you like doing at school Wednesdays?
Haven't you got basketball?
Haven't you got PE or basketball?
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, is that lunchtime or after school?
After school.
And who's the coach?
Mum.
That's right. You told us last week. Mum's a better coach than Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got for us today, Joe?
How many jokes?
Two.
Two. All right. Give us the first one, please.
Two burglars are robbing a liquor store.
Yeah.
One turns to the other and asks, "Is this whiskey?" The other one replies, "Yeah, but not as whiskey as robbing a bank."
Those bloody burglars, they'll be in trouble.
The burglars. Righto. You're off to a good start, Jay. What's your other joke?
Great start.
My friend Philip had his lip removed last week.
Mm.
Now we just call him Phil.
Phil Lip.
On fire today, Joe.
Well done, Joe.
Get some money tonight.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
See you, mate.
Righto, kids. Go to the phones. Who you got there, Ruby?
We got Ruby on the line. Good morning, Ruby.
Good morning.
Oh, I love the name Ruby.
Beautiful name.
My niece is called Ruby.
Yeah. How old are you, Ruby?
I'm 12.
You're 12, so I reckon that means year 7.
6.
Oh, year 6. Okay, I was a year out.
I would have said 7.
What school do you go to, Ruby?
I go to Car Culture Area School on the Eyre Peninsula, and I live about 8 hours away from Adelaide.
Whoa.
Wow.
Cool. So what are you on the app?
No, we're driving to Adelaide because I am doing Sapphires of Football Girls.
Hey, watch out. I know people playing for Port Augusta, and they're down there at the moment. Put your mouth guard in when you play them.
Yeah, we know them.
Right. You know them. Yeah. All right.
Can I just go back again? What's the name of the area school again?
Car Culture.
Where's it near? What sort of town?
It's near Streaky Bay.
Oh, how good. Streaky Bay. I'm just booking into the caravan park for January now. Well, that's the best caravan park in South Australia.
Yeah. Okay, Ruby, what's your joke?
Why did the bicycle fall over?
Why did it?
Because it was too tired.
Yeah. Good on you, Ruby. Hey, good luck in the footy. Well done.
Who's driving, Mum or Dad?
Mum.
Hey, what's Dad doing?
He's on the farm shearing.
He's doing nothing. I reckon he's having a coffee right now. good on you, Mum. Stay safe on the road and have a great week playing footy down at West Beach.
Good luck, Ruby.
All right, look out for the Riverland side, Rubes. Let's go to Declan's on the line. G'day, Declan.
G'day,
Declan. How old are you?
I'm 12.
Oh, you got the big kids today.
That means year 6.
Yep.
There you go. Thank you. I'm a fast learner. Which school do you go to, Declan?
St. Francis Xavier's in Windvale.
Oh, cool.
Windvale. That's a good school, St. Francis at Windvale.
All right. What do you like doing at school, Declan?
PE and fitness.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a stupid question.
Classic Triple M listener.
All right. Question, what's your joke today, Declan?
How do you stay warm in a cold room?
How do you stay warm in a cold room? How?
you go to the corner because it's always 90 degrees.
Very smart. Smart jokes.
A thinking man.
Yes,
joke.
Please. More well of done, that, Declan.
Well done, Declan. All right, stay on the line. Rue's got a family pass to AFL Max.
Yes.
And how good for Ruby. She can go while she's in Adelaide.
She can, and she should. She should go down there. You can book at aflmax.com.au. Everything you want to do down there. Birthday parties are fantastic. Thanks for joining us, kids.
Rue. Your old teammate. Was he a teammate of yours,
well,
Brad?
Just.
Reed? He's done all right.
Just. Well, the headline on the front page of the Advertiser, Crows $205 million mega nest egg. This is Brad Moran, who played a few games for the Crows. Big, tall fella. Come to the club. He has sold a business called Citrus Ad to a French multinational advertising firm. Cool. And basically what it is, in a normal supermarket, you pay for the perfect spot on the shelf, or the best spots on the shelf where that catch your attention the most, you pay more to put your products there. Well, he's converted that to the same for online shopping, and he's had, you know, Dan
Murphy's,
Amazon.
So in other words, to simplify it, if I wanted to buy pasta today, he makes it that certain pasta comes to the, if I'm doing it online, I mean,
yeah,
certain pasta will appear first. Is that the kind of the principle of it?
Well, that's just me with no real technical background trying to explain right. it, but it's yep. something like that. Anyway, it was that good. A big company paid $205 million for
right.
it. My first memory of Brad Moran and was, and I wrote him off, to be quite honest. He rocked up at the Crows and he had a Louis Vuitton bag. And I thought, not sure about this recruit, guys. Anyway, he's had the last laugh there. The Louis Vuitton bag.
Well, that should have tipped
you off. Do you know what?
These.
He's got a lot of Louis Vuitton
In
bags.
The Louis Vuitton bag, he has got cash. He's got lots of those bags. So well done, Brad. Congratulations.
Good story.
Put his brains to good use. Yep. And now... he's not going to get boomered because he can boom a few boomers, yeah. can't he, with 205 large, if that's how yeah. much he got himself.
Good on him.
Well done.
We love coffee. There's no doubt about that.
Mm. I'm addicted.
Coffee dominates the world now. Everyone, how often do people say, oh, I've got to have a coffee before I can function or before I can do anything? Not everyone. There are people listening that don't have coffee.
I hope I find out in 10 years' time that coffee's really bad for you.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'd be rooted. Yeah.
Who do
You'd
we
be
sue?
What? Rooted.
Oh, okay.
Stuffed.
Okay.
What?
It's all right.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, have to be now. anyway, next week is International Coffee Week. A human behavioural scientist has put together this study. He studied many, many, many coffee drinkers around the world. And this tells you what you're like about. Now, I want you to think about what coffee do you order. So when you go downstairs to Freddy's Roo, what do you ask for?
I rotate a little bit, depending on sort of my frame of mind. I either have a long black or I just have a... extra hot, skinny, flat white.
Yeah.
Okay. So long black, you're a psychopath. No, this is true. Potential
Tell
psychopath.
Us what it really
I'm not
means.
Making this up. Potential psychopath. Flat white.
Potential psychopath.
Now, this is what I ask for as well. I ask for a flat white. Sophisticated, single-minded, and this will shock you. Outspoken.
Oh, yeah.
I've given up. I'm just going to go over right. now.
If you ask for a mocha, which some, I think some of your friends like.
What's
a mocha?
What is a
Our
mocha?
Boss, Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah. Loves, okay.
Matt loves a mocha.
Yeah.
What's a mocha?
If you ask for mocha, you're the most.
Chocolate.
Sounds you know, like a baby.
You're kids. The most photographed. You're the one that photographs your food and
yeah.
your drink.
Yeah, yeah, that's accurate.
Instagram friendly. But you're the life of the party as well.
Okay, that's
I wouldn't
taken
say
a
that
turn.
About
no.
Matt.
If you ask for a latte,
yeah, that's me.
Well, Eidos, you're a connoisseur.
Oh.
You're middle of the road, and what? this is, and you're boring.
Oh,
right.
Eidos. Don't say it's
better
your
than being a psychopath,
until...
mate.
I'll see myself out.
If you ask for an espresso, you're strong in character and you're straight talking. If you ask for a cappuccino, more adventurous, open minded, and you're up for a laugh.
Wow.
If you ask for iced coffee, you're a total misfit.
Oh, come on.
FUYC.
And if you ask, finally, if you ask for a hot chocolate, it's all about me.
Yeah.
And you're the most self-indulgent.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Anything so if you ask for coffee extra hot?
Yeah, you are a tosser. Difficult to get along with.
Oh,
and they spit in it.
You've made
that actually.
Up.
If you ask for almond milk, which Loz has done this morning,
yeah. What happens with almond milk?
You're a tree hugging time waster.
I've been called worse.
The whole nation is watching the story unfolding in Western Australia. There are glimpses of Azaria Chamberlain about this. Not that it's a dingo involved, but what I mean is a little toddler missing. There's all sorts of speculation. The parents are there on the scene. Baby taken, we think, from a tent. There are, as I say, there are all sorts of similarities, aren't there, really?
Well, there are. She's a four-year-old girl, though. She's a bit older. Yep. And, you know, look, it appears, though, someone's taken her, you would think.
All right. The parents spoke last night to the press. Let's find out. Channel 7 News reporter Ben Downey's on the spot. Ben, what did the parents have to say?
Morning, guys. Well, yes, last night the parents made a pretty emotional public appeal, but one of the key takeaways from that is that they, like what you guys have just said, believe there's no way Cleo would have wandered off. They believe that it's almost certain that she's been taken, and they gave some pretty good reasons why. It's just so out of character for Cleo to wander off. Even when, you know, her parents are awake, she won't ride her bike more than 10 metres from her mum. She's never going to leave her side in normal life, and she'd actually woken up several times that night as early as 1 a.m, just to ask for drinks of waters, and you know her parents are more than happy to you know placate her desires. But that you know after she woke up and asked for water, then they never saw her again. When they woke up at 6 o'clock, the tent was left open. Her baby sister Isla was still there, but little Cleo and her sleeping bag had taken. That's when the search went into full swing, and they still believe that she's alive out there as well. Amazingly, without any sign of her in the past 4 days of searching, we're now entering day 5. They believe in the strength of little Cleo. Despite them being filled with fear, they think that she's alive out there, so which is pretty incredible.
Even if a four-year-old walks out of there in the middle of the night, which would be highly unusual, being scared of the dark and all that sort of stuff, you're hardly going to take your sleeping bag with you for a walk. Just tell me this, Ben. Were they in separate tents? I read that there was a divider in the tent. There's a baby in a cot next to the four-year-old as well. So were the tents right next together? Was it the same tent? And even under, I mean, I've been camping with little kids a hell of a lot of times. You never park yourself too far away from the most... Yeah, you know, your kids, in this case, both of them. How the hell would someone sneak in there and steal a kid without, you know, a cautious parent hearing something happen?
Yeah, I'll answer your first question. It is the same tent. It's a large family tent. There was a divider, but it's not like, you know, too much to separate. They're pretty close, and Claire could easily go and talk to her parents if she needed to, and she'd done so multiple times that night. How she could have been snatched away so easily, that's the mystery that's, you know, plaguing detectives and Cleo's family. And, like, as far as walking off, if you've had a look at any of the pictures on TV, the terrain is pretty tough to get over. There's cliffs that she definitely wouldn't have been able to scale. And they've searched every inch and researched of this, you know, 5 square kilometre radius, the marine search as well. They've even had thermal imaging cameras up the night she disappeared, trying to find anything in like the AmSar safety jet. No sign at all. So police are now frantically searching for CCTV footage of every service station across the state, really. And now they've issued a public appeal, because it's been so long, for the entire nation. If anyone has any information, they're asking them to come forward.
So this camping, where they were they the only people around? Or was this populated with other families, or were they alone?
No, far from being alone. This is it's a pretty isolated camping site. I mean, 50 kilometres north of Carnarvon, and that's about 900 kilometres north of Perth, so
right,
close the distance from Brisbane to Sydney. But basically, there was probably about a dozen, close to two dozen sort of individual campers or people there with, you know, camper trailers and caravans and Winnebagos and the like. And all of those, when they left the campsite, because police obviously made it a crime scene, and everyone was searched thoroughly before they left, which is obviously, you know, good that police have been able to do that. And all those campers, I mean, they were the first ones to join the frantic search for Cleo when she disappeared that morning. And they all remember seeing her before she disappeared on Friday afternoon when they arrived in setup camp and knew who they were looking for. But yeah, as soon as they couldn't find anyone, the police came into the equation as well. And by then, it was too late and she'd disappeared.
What about the rumours of a car noise in the middle of the night?
Yeah, guys, we've heard a lot of rumours. The problem is that this entire investigation is split into, well, this entire operation is split into two parts. You've got the search operation, and the police are conducting that, are being very upfront and telling us what's going on and giving us as much information as possible there. But the other side is the investigative side. That's where, you know, state crime detectives, homicide squads, forensics, those guys remain incredibly tight-lipped. So, you know, rumours about, you know, whether there were footprints or not, whether there were drag marks or not, whether, you know, there was people screaming cars around the campsite during the middle of the morning. All of those question marks remain unverified and unanswered. And police, there's a reason why they want to keep this information under wraps, especially in the, you know, horrifying scenario that she has been taken. And it's looking more likely. But, you know, they're the best detectives in WA. So, you know, Claire's parents and the rest of WA is forced to rely on their methods in hope that they come through.
Ben, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Ben Downey, 7 News reporter over there in Carnarvon in Western Australia. And let's hope there is a very, very good outcome to this story.
Fingers crossed. Mm.